found on page 898. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but with their hearts they curse. Find rest, O soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, my people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Then we continue in the book of Jonah on page 1438. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And then we drop down to the last verse in that chapter, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. And then we go into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 on page 1761, which is not what is printed in the book. First Corinthians, 7th chapter, starting with verse 29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And at this time I will turn over the rest of the service to our pastor, and you can stay sitting. And I will too.
Thanks, Jim. That'll teach me to interrupt people. Our gospel lesson is going to come from the Gospel of Mark. If you'd like to turn there, Follow along as I read Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. So after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, at once they left their nets and they followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for how you provide for us. We thank you for those who are gathered here, and we do praise you for all you have done for us in the past and that we are certain you're going to do for us in the future. Father, this morning we do pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word so we might have a clear understanding of your will for us and what you would have us to do in our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So before I start, I'm going to tell you a little story. And it's a story I know I probably told you before, but in case you've just joined us and maybe you haven't heard me before, it'd be new to you. Or maybe you've heard it somewhere else. This is a pretty familiar story. So here it goes. So there's a story about a fisherman who had a fantastic reputation for his ability to catch fish. Every day he would go out in his boat and he'd bring back an incredibly large number of fish. So one day a stranger came and he just wanted to go fishing with him. And so the stranger looked at him and he looked back and he says, "All right, I'll let you go with me one day, but I want you to be back here tomorrow morning at 4:30. So the stranger agreed. And so the next morning came at 4:30 in the morning, the stranger shows up. Sure enough, he meets the fishermen, and they grab his old boat, and these strangers kind of looking at him puzzled-like. He says, "Where's all your gear?" He says, "Well, I got it." So they commence pushing the boat out in the water, getting ready to go, and the fisherman crawls in. He looks at the strangers. "Are you coming?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm coming." And he gets in, but he looks, and there's nothing in his boat. The motor on the back, he's got old green tackle box and a dip net. Stranger thinking, "This is kind of strange. What are we going to fish with?" He says, "Don't you worry." So they get motoring out into the lake. They get out in the middle of the lake and he finds this quiet little cove and he goes back in there. And pretty casually, they're kind of facing each other in the boat and he opens up that old green tackle box and next thing he knows, he grabs out this red stick of dynamite. The fisherman grabs it and he lights this thing and just casually throws it over the shoulder. Kaboom! It goes. Well, the stranger, he's getting all excited. He's thinking, "What in the world's going on here?" Well, the fisherman is still pretty casual, grabs his nip net, and all these fish start to come to the surface. He goes and he gets his pick. Well, he starts. In his back pocket, next thing you know, he pulls out this shiny badge. He says, "I'm the fish warden and you're under arrest." Well, that fisherman, he didn't get too excited. He said, he looked at that and he says, he reaches down and he opens up his little green tackle box. He pulls out another stick of dynamite, strikes the match, lights the fuse, hands it to the game warden. Well, the game warden, not thinking, grabs it. Fisherman looks at me and says, "So, are you going to fish or cut bait?" We think about that and we laugh a little bit about it, but that's what I want to talk about today. As I thought about this, and I got reading these all these scriptures together. And I don't normally have our person doing our scripture readings in the mornings, read three different ones. But all four of these just kind of so intertwined, it's like we need to look at all of them. So in case you were sleeping when Jim was reading, or you're in the parking lot and you got distracted, I'm going to do a little synopsis of the readings we've already heard. When I looked at this, so you look at the Psalms we read, Psalm 62, really starts about King David. Well, David's got a little bit of a predicament. He's kind of like our fish warden. He's holding sick of dynamite. Because everybody's after him. They're trying to dethrone him. And trying to put him in a bad situation. So what's he do? First thing he does is he thanks God. And he reminds himself of what God has done for him already. And then he helps to remind us of what God is going to do for us, for those who love him, who serve him. But it was interesting at the very end of that, if you remember that last verse in Psalm 62, let me read it to you one more time. He says, verse 12, Psalm 62, he said, "And with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what he have done." What did he really say? He said basically, so God's handing us a stick of dynamite, and he says, "You're going to fish or cut bait." What does it mean to fish or cut bait? What do I really mean by that? I want to focus on that just for a minute. What do I do with my papers? I should never write stuff down. I get terrible at it when I'm trying to read things. I get ahead of myself. Does anybody know what it means? The fish or cut bait? Aubrey does. That's good. Well, I wrote down my definitions, so we'll all be on the same page. Here we go. Fish or cut bait. It's usually in a form of a question. Are you going to fish or cut bait? It means, are you going to spend your time getting ready, or are you going to get on with the task at hand? Or it may mean the time has come, we can't dilly dally anymore. We have to act now, for we have no chance of action. Fish or cut bait expresses a kind of urgency, a call to decision. It signals momentous opportunity. So let's look at it in our scripture. So today is at a backdrop. So when I think about this expression of fish or cut bait, and I put it in context with our scriptures today, you really ask us the question, so, are we going to accept our primary calling? What is our primary calling? Anybody know? Disciples. To be disciples. Our primary call is to be a disciple. I can't do that up there anymore. I feel like I'm disconnected if I'm not down here. So we already talked about Psalms. We talked about David's position he was in. And he was in that position where it's time to take action. It's time to fish or cut bait. Then I looked at, when I took the time and I looked at Jonah. Well, he was kind of a predicament too. Now think about the book of Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah and how he tried to run away from God and God brought him back via fish, swallowed him up, kind of puked him up on the beach. Said, "Here we are, Jonah. How'd that go for you?" Well, he still wanted to run away from everything, but God came to him the second time. We have that in chapter 3. So God comes
Second time, he said, now I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them people that they're doomed if they don't come around in 40 days and repent. But Jonah wasn't really in love with the Ninevites, and he kind of hesitated at this. But he did follow through. Because God looked at him and said, okay, so now what are we going to do? Are we going to fish or are we going to cut bait? It's time for action. Or are you going to dilly-dally and suffer the consequences one more time? And he'd already been there. Then we read in Corinthians. What did Corinthians tell us? Paul tells us we don't have any time to wait. There's no time like the present, is there? Every person in this generation should sense the urgency, the necessity of becoming disciples. So when we looked at these first disciples in the Gospel of Mark, so Mark, he only gives us really a detailed account of the disciples, of their calling, only of the four fishermen here, and Matthew. The rest of them, he tells us who the rest of them were, I think, in chapter 3. But today I really want to look at these four fishermen and the calling that they received. So what did Jesus say to them? When Jesus found, the first thing that's really interesting is, so Jesus goes down and he finds himself four fishermen. I don't know about you, but a lot of the fishermen I know had a tendency to tell a little bit of a lie now and then. They weren't exactly honest. You know. It was that old story, you know. I used to go fishing with my dad and be talking to somebody else. I said, I caught a fish this big, didn't I, Dad? You know, that's one of them things. But they're what ordinary guys do, it seemed like at the time. But Jesus knows this. And he still goes and he picks these ordinary fishermen. I got to give him credit for that. What is it that we know about that? What is the real significance in that? Is that God can use anybody. If he can use fishermen, he definitely can use anybody. If he can use me, I know he can use anybody. If he can use old mechanics. God can use anybody. It doesn't matter who we are. What's the second thing about the significance of this? Is he doesn't care what kind of talent you have. You can have zero talent. Your perception of power can be a whole lot different than God's. Because we don't have to have any power. Because he supplies it. Because he supplies it. I think it was in Zechariah, where an angel of the Lord came to Zechariah. He told him, it's not by power, it's by spirit. See, God supplies our power for us when he calls us. And you know how you were called? You're sitting here because you're a Christian. Because you believed in Christ. So there's two things we really need to know. It doesn't matter who we are. We don't need to qualify to follow Christ. And when we do follow him, we don't have to worry about any talents or any power that we might have, because he will supply it. So then we need to look at the call. So Jesus made it, it's a two-part call. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Pretty simple, isn't it? All we got to do is follow. It really is a command. It's really quite simple. Follow me. Follow me. What does it mean to follow me? It means to walk with him, to walk in his footsteps. It doesn't tell us to get side tracked anywhere. All we have to do is follow him. We don't have to lead. All we have to do is follow. The more I thought about following him, I says, I'm pretty good with that. I never liked being in the lead. But I'm pretty good at following. But it just means that we have to develop that relationship to know that when he turns, we need to turn. When he moves, we need to move. But the greatest thing of all was he says, so I will, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He gives us a task. When you think about this, I'll make you fishers of men, this isn't really a command. This is a promise. What is it to become fishers of men? You think about it. So in our text, when we read about the fishermen, they all were preparing their nets. Why do they use nets? Because they want to bring the fish in alive now, don't they? So they're fresh. So they're more valuable. Well, we do the same thing when Jesus tells us, he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to catch fish alive. You're going to catch men alive. And you're going to give them life. Give them the opportunity to have life and life through him. And I think the more I thought about that, and I think, now wait a minute. He wants us to follow him. And the more I thought about following him and then the task that he gives us is to bring men to him, to follow him. What does that really mean? And I thought about it in the context of our world today and how people see things and what it is to follow somebody. So, and then I got looking at an example. And I remember a story about a Dr. Warren. He was given a class on talking about the different ways we follow society and how we equate ourselves with different things within our societies. So, and he was giving a speech on his saying, now, so how are Christians really Christians? I mean, are they Christians because they follow a certain set of rules or ethics? What actually makes them Christians? He says, and this one girl raises her hand. She says, I know what it is. He says, fine, tell me. What is it? How do you know if you're a Christian? How do you know if you're, say, a communist? She says, well, if you believe in communism, you're a communist. He says, is that right? He says, well, if you believe in capitalism, you're a capitalist. He says, that's interesting. He says, if you believe in socialism, well, you're a socialist then. He says, that's really interesting. I may ask you one question. So do you believe in marriage? And she looks at him and says, well, yes. She says, I got a diamond ring right here because I'm engaged to be married. He says, well, that's wonderful. Would you come up here a minute? And then he's looking over the group, and in the back there's this kid back there with got a sweatshirt on, and he looks at me and says, I know you've been paying attention. He says, do you believe in marriage? He says, well, yeah, I believe in it. I'm not really going to be committed to it right now, but I believe in marriage. He says, well, come right up here, will you? He says, I want you to do something for me. He says, okay. So he's hesitant, but he walks up and he gets up front. He says, now, I want you to take her hand. He says, hold her hands together. And you look at him and says, now. He takes and he places his hand on hers and he says, now by the power vested in me, because I am a minister in this state, I pronounce you husband and wife. And oh, the girl shouts up, whoa, we can't do that. He said, well, you believe in marriage, right? He says, yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's not marriage, it isn't about believing in marriage. He says, no, it isn't. It says, marriage is about a relationship, isn't it? It's about a personal relationship. To be Christians, to be disciples, it's about being in relationship with Christ. It's about a personal relationship. You see, when he called the disciples, first thing he did was he says, follow me. He didn't ask them for their credentials. He didn't ask them if they had diplomas in any given thing or any kind of skill. He just said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'll give you the power. I'm going to give you a task. And he does the same for us today. He calls us to us, each and every one of us, no matter who we are. We're all qualified because we don't need any qualities. We don't need any qualifications. He just says, come as you are. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. We need to do that, especially in these days. Follow Christ, and he will make us fishers of men. That's his promise to us. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you that you have called us, that you have gathered us here. I pray that your word would indwell in each heart here today so that they might know that you are calling him. They are calling each and one of us. And if we only answer to that call, if we only build that relationship, you will make us fishers of men. We will become your disciples. You will empower us. And no matter what we do in our lives, we know that your presence will come through. And we'll be able to be fishers of men. We'll be able to bring men alive, women alive to you, so that they might be saved, so that they might become disciples and have life and have it eternal. We thank you, Father, and praise you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.